Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Here it is, 11:11 on Wednesday, June the 9th. Doug Jenkins with you here. And coming up this hour, as we normally do on Wednesdays, we'll take a look back on the past week's worth of news, courtesy of our friends at the Illinois Radio Network, coming up in our fourth segment, which is a little over a half hour from now. Just past the bottom of the hour, we'll have an interview with a couple of newsmakers, Chris Slusser from Madison County, talking about property tax bills going out, and Todd Strubhart from Godfrey Park and Recreation, and a survey that they're taking to see if there's any direction from the public as to how they would like to progress with the future of Godfrey Parks. But first, we go to our regular Wednesday guest on the second Wednesday of the month from the Better Business Bureau, Don O'Brien. And how are you today, sir?
Doug, I'm doing well. The tax man is coming down in Madison County. I can't imagine Mr. Slusser has very many people happy with him at this time of year when these things come out.
Well, you know, don't shoot the messenger, he always says. That's on our various taxing bodies that set the rates. So he's just...
Exactly right.
Exactly. So if you want to see who's getting your money in taxes, just take a good close look at your bill. But that's still to come. We will not jump into that discussion just yet because we have plenty other things to talk about today. And a story that we have been running on the air a little bit earlier today, talking about out-migration from Illinois to other places as people decide to pack up the moving van and get out of here. For whatever reason they're leaving, you know, that's on them. But we're here to talk about finding a trustworthy mover, which is not as easy as you might think.
You know, it's not. And, you know, this is something that we get, you know, BBB, we get a lot of inquiries about movers. We had more than 2 million inquiries during 2020 about people looking for a moving company. And we had more than 8,000 complaints nationwide. So, you know, this is a problem. And this is the type of situation, Doug, where, you know, it's not as if you're spending $50. You're spending probably up to a couple thousand dollars. You have all your worldly possessions in someone else's hands, so it can be very stressful, and maybe you might be filled with anxiety. And in order to make sure you go through this process as smoothly as possible, you really need to do your research to make sure you find a good mover.
What are some of the top questions we need to ask when trying to find?
Well, the first thing that, at least, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, 4 years now with BBB, and, you know, I've talked to people who've had these bad moving experiences and looked into the bad movers, and the number one thing that I think that separates the good from the bad, the fork in the road, if you will, is when you get that estimate. And if they don't want to make an on-site inspection of your household goods and they only want to give you an estimate over the phone, that might be a red flag that they are maybe not a good mover, because you want somebody to actually come on site, see what you have, and tell you what it's going to take to move that. There's no really way to do that over the phone or just by sending photos of your items to someone and you don't even know where they're at. So I think that's the number one thing, is if you find a mover that will do an in-house estimate, that is a good thing. On the flip side, if they don't want to come and do that, and again, that might be red flag number one for you.
Now, did that change at all during the pandemic when we were encouraged not to go around people we don't know, cover our faces,
no,
things like that?
That's a great question. And, you know, now that we're – not that we're past the pandemic, but even in the height of that pandemic, those businesses that did the in-home estimates, they were still doing those in-home estimates because, you know, they did things like masks and social distance and those things. That really did not change for them. So, you know, we – you know, now that you know, not that the world is back on its axis by any means, but you know, with the numbers are way down, and you know, if a business is going to give you an excuse of COVID, we can't see that, we just want to do it over the phone, again, that might be a red flag.
Let's talk about those that demand cash, a big deposit up front before anything gets done.
Yeah, and again, that's another thing. Having done a move recently, I did have to pay everything up front, but I also dealt with an accredited business from Better Business Bureau, and you know, we've talked about accredited businesses for BBB before. Basically, what that does is if you hire an accredited business, you know that we've already vetted that business, we've looked into their background, and they've made a commitment to make sure that they make a good faith effort if there's any problems. So I use that little peace of mind mind. I did have to pay everything up front, but again, that's just kind of how it operates. So the movers we see that give the large payment or large deposit before the move also will try to ding the people on the backside of things. Once they have their things loaded onto their truck, they'll ask for more money before they unload it. So when I did that transaction, I knew that I wasn't going to have to pay any more money unless my load was too big or too heavy, because that's how these movers typically operate, is they charge you per pound, not per item.
Taking a look at some of the other tips, we can't get to them all due to time constraints today, but movers that claim all items are covered by their insurance. Is this something that that people are easily fooled by? Because you would think that if you put your stuff in someone's truck, they're responsible for it until they unload.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the number one complaints we get, is the fact that these items get damaged in transit, or whether or not it's in transit, or whether it's during the move itself. And you know, the insurance doesn't cover, the insurance only covers a partial what the mover's insurance does. So again, make sure you take a good look at the contract. You know, to make sure that you know what's going to happen if things do get damaged. If you have some items that you are particularly worried about to lose, you know, damage, or you know, you don't want them to break, maybe you carry those on your own and move them themselves if they're small items. But again, that's something you're going to have to figure out.
And the final one for me is getting three written in-home estimates. The estimates, you can always compare one to the other to the other. As Smokey Robinson sings on our sister station, My Mix, my mama told me you better shop around.
You better shop. Yes, you better shop around. And again, like I said, I did a recent move myself, and there was about a $1,700 difference from the top end to the low end. And again, you have to weigh everything in. And just because a mover gives you a low estimate doesn't mean that that is the one you should go with, because they may just try to be undercutting you just to get the job, and then you know, things can go wrong. So again, you really have to do your homework here. I talk about this every month about doing your homework, but especially in this instance, because you have so much wrapped up in a move. You've got every one of your valuable possessions, you know, family heirlooms, you name it, and you just want to make sure you get it from point A to point B safely.
Let's move on now, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. We've touched on it before, but let's do a little bit more. Grandparent scams. We've covered those countless times. I guess it's about mm-hmm. that time of the year where we're probably going to see them ramp up again.
Yeah, because this one, Doug, has been kind of on the back burner, because there haven't been a lot of travel during the last 15 months or so with everything COVID related. But now that we're kind of back out and moving about the country, if you will, this one's going to pop up. And what a grandparent scam is you might get you'll probably get a phone call from somebody purporting to be a friend or relative that's in a dire emergency. Maybe they had a medical emergency while they're on vacation, or they've been arrested supposedly, or something of that nature. And they want to get you to act immediately to send them money because, you know, little Bobby might be having a emergency surgery, and they need money right now. Or, you know, Jane, your little nephew, Jane, your niece Jane, has been arrested, and they're going to meet with the judge today. And if you don't do it today, the judge won't meet with her again until next week. You know, something like that to make you to act in the moment. And they're going to try to get money out of you and try to have you pay in kind of weird ways, like Western Union or gift cards or things like that. So basically, what we're trying to tell people is know the red flags of what this scam is, kind of what I just explained, and just stay calm. And if you get one of these, reach out to another loved one and say, hey, you know, is so-and-so on vacation? Because I got this really weird call. So, again, don't act in the heat of the moment.
And, of course, you need to make a report to your local police officer and to our police department and to the Better Business Bureau.
Yep. Yeah, BBB Scam Tracker, we like taking those, so that way we know what's going on. You can also report that to your local police. They may or may not take a report on that, depending how busy what they are with other things. But, again, you want to make sure you report these, you know, even if you're not victimized, even if you figure out, you know, that they're full of baloney, you know, please report that so others can find that as well.
We need a break right now. As we head to break, Don, would you give us the contact information for the Better Business Bureau?
You bet. You can find out information all the time at bbb.org, or if you have questions, you can call me in our St. Louis office here at 314-645-3300.
We need a short break. When we come back, we'll have another segment with Don O'Brien talking about the DMV scam and online banking. Stay tuned. We're back on Let's Talk as we bring you back Don O'Brien, my guest with the Better Business Bureau, also a child of the 80s. Don, that's an easy one. Name that tune. Guess I have to push the button. Don, name that tune.
Yeah, Take On Me,
Very good. Did you know that Weezer recently redid that song and did a nice job on it?
I did not know that. I'll have to check that out. I'm a Weezer guy from the 90s, so that's good.
Yep, Weezer did a bunch of covers a few years ago. That was one of them. But we don't
Very
have
nice.
A lot of time.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So let's dive back in. The DMV scam. What is this? What should we keep our eyes open for?
Yeah, so, Doug, this is one where, you know, we've talked about how these scammers during the pandemic have loved to latch on to different things. And here's a government agency scam, and they're kind of also mixing in, you know, we've been getting all these stimulus payments and things of this nature. So we've had some reports on the Missouri side, and just because we've only heard Missouri doesn't mean that we're not going to get it in Illinois, because eventually it's going to happen on this side of the river as well. And basically what happens is these people are receiving text messages saying, all licensed drivers in your state are receiving a refund payment of, first this woman got one that said she's going to get about $1,900, then it went up to about $2,900, and then all of a sudden her third text she received was about $3,000 refund. And again, she was supposed to hit a link. Well, luckily, the woman did not do that. Instead, she did what you're supposed to do. She reached out to her local DMV over in St. Charles County and said, hey, I got these texts and what's going on here, and they assured her that it was a scam. So, you know, this is, again, a thing where they're trying to get you to go to their websites and things, you know, to try to get some personal information out of you. There's no money waiting for these people just because they are a licensed driver in the state of Missouri. So, again, it's a thing where, you know, we sometimes get these offers through text messages or emails or you know, even social media. Be wary before you jump on those things. You've got to look into them before you leap.
And chances are you're not going to get money for nothing. Or your chicks for free, for that matter.
Go over your chicks for free. Exactly right. Your money for nothing, or your chicks for free. You're not going to get any of that.
Yeah,
you know, when you get these offers, and again, I'm sure the great majority of the folks that are listening right now are probably shaking their heads up and down and said, yeah, I've gotten something like that. Maybe not this DMV, but something else, a government grant or something. And the chances of you getting money for zero in these instances is not very good. So, you know, look before you leave. And do a little research so that way you don't get burned on the back end of things.
All right. Nothing worse than getting burned on the back end, I always say.
Correct. That's what I always say as well.
All right. So let's move on to our final topic of the day, choosing an online-only bank. And for those of us of a certain age, I cannot even imagine doing online-only banking. It's a nice addition to being able to walk up to a counter, but this is a thing. What do we need to know?
It is, and you're right. You know, folks that are maybe north of 40 or 45, this might be uncomfortable for them. I know I have a 22-year-old son who does most all of his banking online. There are these online banks that have kind of popped up, and they've been even more popular during the pandemic because, as you said, we just weren't able to go into places or do things. So if you're going to go to an online-only financial institution, you're going to want to make sure that the banks are going to cover your money if something happens. The vast majority of the banks are members of the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and credit unions, on the other hand, are with the National Credit Union Administration. You want to make sure that if you do deal with an online bank, that they're a member of one of those two organizations, so that way your money is safe, and if they're not just going to, you know, you don't just want your money to disappear because you've gotten into some online entity. So, you know, you can't make hasty decisions about moving their money between financial institutions, and you've got to do your homework before you decide to go all in online.
I know as a longtime banking customer myself, I rarely switch banks voluntarily. Usually, if I switch, it's because it's been bought out by another company. Is that a good plan of action, or do I need to shop around, even if I am satisfied?
What you're doing is fine. The thing you want to look at is – a couple different things. If you want to keep your money in there long term, you know, the interest rates on things like checking and savings account aren't very good. You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck if you were to, you know, put it in maybe stocks or mutual funds or something like that. But you also make sure your money's safe, and you want to make sure your fees. You want to see what about the fees are, because these financial institutions can offer a number of different things, but with that, there might be fees. You know, if there might be a fee for not having as much an X number of dollars in your checking account per se, or they may charge you a fee for making transactions or something like that. So, again, you've got to read the fine print when you go to these institutions to see exactly what it's going to cost you to be a member.
And with the online banking, are they any more or any less notorious for, say, overdraft fees?
That's a good question. Again, that's something you're going to look at. I mean, no overdraft fee is slight. Usually, you're going to get dinged at least probably $25. I would say on average, at the bottom probably of that list. You know, so that's one thing to look at. You know, do a look at BBB if you're going to do an online banking. Believe it or not, we received about 28,000 complaints last year nationwide about banks, credit unions, and other financial service businesses. So there are problems out there, and including online folks. So, again, you've got to make sure that your money's safe, because the last thing you want to do is take it someplace that's not insured. You know, they somehow lose all your money, and then you are out o' luck.
Well, Don, we've got about 1 minute left since we're on the topic of online banking. Your thoughts on cryptocurrency, good, bad, or is the jury still out?
Boy, I'm telling you what, Doug, that's a great question. I get a lot. I've been trying to do some things. You know, you got Bitcoin and Doge and all these other things. And again, I think my 22-year-old son, he dabbles in some of that. The not 22-year-old me is like, I'm just going to be a little safer and put my money in things that I can actually touch. So, again, just know what you're getting into when you do some of those cryptocurrency things, because it's kind of unregulated and it's a little bit of a wild, wild west situation right now.
And with that, I think I have all the ammunition I need to holler back at some of those who are saying, why aren't you getting into this? So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Don, I want to thank you for your time. And as we get out of here, one last time, how do we get a hold of the fine folks there at your office?
You bet. If you have any questions about what I talked about today, or if you've gotten some kind of weird mailer or text or email or whatever, just give me a call at the downtown office here in St. Louis at 314-645-3300.
That is going to do it for this segment of Let's Talk as we chat with Don O'Brien. Stay tuned when we come back. We got a couple of local newsmakers. Stay tuned.